Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to a brand new week, a brand new Monday, a brand new day that the Lord has made. And I, for one, will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and you are listening to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And I am so glad that you have joined the program today, as most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs. I simply want to encourage you, as I do on a regular basis, that we have a proper perspective and prioritization concerning our families. I know it's very easy to get caught up in the rat race of life, caught up pursuing all types of objectives, only to leave our families the leftovers from a day or a life well spent. I would encourage you to make sure in the pursuits that we all are engaged in, that we are mindful not to neglect our families. When the Lord unfolded the manner in which the Great Commission was to be executed, he talked about starting in Jerusalem, going to Judea and Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the world. There was never an excuse offered to ignore Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, but certainly there's no sufficient excuse to ignore Jerusalem. And I would contend that your Jerusalem and my Jerusalem begins right in our own families. We don't want to sacrifice our families on the altars of external faithfulness, man. We want to make sure we're serving our families well, in addition to being faithful outside of our home. So this is why I remind you on a daily basis, what you do outside your home to generate an income, that's your part-time job. But your full-time job is what we do in serving our families in our homes. Praise God for that. Well, we are only a little more than a week away from the Pro-Life Mississippi Banquet in Jackson, Mississippi. So there's still time. If you would like to attend the banquet and join me and others who will be there as we stand firmly for life, it's amazing what's happening all over the world. We'll talk a little bit later about the unplanned movie this weekend that opened in theaters, a very successful opening. Man, this is a great time to be alive. And why am I saying that? Because though the darkness mounts, the Lord desires to reap a harvest for himself among this generation. The Lord has sovereignly planted you and I in the 21st century. We are not just casualties of modernity. No, the Lord sovereignly desired for you and I to be alive right now. And the reality is, when he saved us, he didn't save us for our own personal benefit, but he saved us and made us disciples so that we would be advocates of making more disciples. So we want to be engaged in this hour, man, where people are scrambling and looking for truth, and deception is coming at high rates of speed. I'm going to show you this one thing on April 1st from Babylon B that really brings that into square focus. Is a ripe opportunity for you and I to be ambassadors for our homeland. Did you realize you were an ambassador? I know we have, you know, ambassador for the U.S. to this nation. Well, the Lord has ordained for you and I to be ambassadors. And the role of ambassadors is introducing foreigners to our homeland. That's why when no matter where you go in the world, wherever you have a U.S. Ambassadorship that's present, a U.S. consulate, that is known all the world around as sovereign U.S. territory. So where you and I go, it should be known all the world around as sovereign, eternal, New Jerusalem-based territory. So let's introduce people to our homeland. Let them know we're here only for a moment. Where we are is not where we're going to be. Glory to God. Man, I'm excited if you can't tell. Turn with me in your Bibles. Look, I'm like I'm in church. Most of y'all are driving. Hey, I can't turn to my Bible. That's all right. Turn in your head if you got it in your mind. To 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is something that I want to share that has been really on my heart heavily for these last several weeks. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 16 is what I'm going to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. In fact, I'm going to just read verse 1 of this chapter. I'll read verses 1 through 4 just to kind of set up where I'm going to go. I'm going to drop down to verse 10 through 16 because that's what I want to talk about. But this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who is ascending in the faith. You know, Apostle Paul is really discipling young Timothy to lead the church in Ephesus, frankly. And he's offering counsel, Holy Spirit breathes counsel to Timothy. And he says this to Timothy, starting in verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. The King James says perilous times. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Man, if that doesn't read like front page of what's going on in our society right now, I don't know what does. And then Paul goes on to explain to Timothy how to overcome all of this. And then he goes into verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, or my purpose in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and seducers or imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training or instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, let me tell you what I'm going at here. So we have in the beginning where Paul lays out all of these things, man, perilous times are coming. Men lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And what is the prescription that Paul offers to Timothy? He said, well, you are familiar with my teaching and my conduct. I made this point when referring to these scriptures before, that the Apostle Paul is specific and intentional about conveying to Timothy, not only are you aware of my doctrine, what I have taught to you as lessons to be received, but you also are aware how I lived out what I have instructed to you in a doctrinal fashion. Man, we as believers cannot get too big for our britches where we think it's enough for us to have, dare I say it, orthodoxy without orthopraxis, right? Where what we teach is right. What we speak is right, but our lifestyles contradict our teaching. We serve as a nullification of our own instruction if we're not living what we're teaching. It's not enough to teach right. You got to walk right, man. Holiness is not an option. In fact, for those who are in the faith, holiness is acceptable and desirable and laudable to us. We talked last week about delighting in the Lord, being a precursor to receiving the desires of our hearts, because as we delight in the Lord, our desires change, man. And they change to line up with what the Lord desires. And we talked about the culmination of that passage in Psalm 37 being the ultimate hungering, being for righteousness. Man, the more we grow in the Lord, stuff just don't seem as important, because we know stuff is temporal. Man, we're setting our affections on things that are eternal, not on temporal fleeting things. But then Paul goes on, even warning young Timothy about the seducers, the imposters that would come in. I mean, if this is not a day where deception is at an all-time high, I don't know what else to tell you. And these deceivers, the source of their deception is because they deceive themselves. Deceiving and being deceived. The cyclical operation of deception. But what is the antidote that Paul prescribes for Timothy? Continue in what you have learned. Remember, what he learned from Paul was what Paul taught and what Paul lived. Continue in what you have learned, and then he gets specific. Verse 16, all scripture
is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuke or reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So Paul is telling him that the word of God, and when Paul is writing this, he's referring primarily to the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament. But we know this also includes the canon that came thereafter, that all scripture, the guidelines, the guardrails, the straight edge, the standard that you use to evaluate everything is the scripture. Because it's breathed out by God. It's inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching what you should affirmatively pursue, what you should affirmatively desire, what we should pursue after. The scripture is sufficient for that. It's profitable for rebuke, for reproof, the stuff you should swat away with a long Dikembe Mutombo-sized finger. No, not today. What we need to rebuke, the scripture tells us how and what and why and when what we need to rebuke. For correction, you may be walking in a certain way, but you may need to make an adjustment. The word of God is sufficient for that. And for training in righteousness, continuous growth in righteousness. Now, why am I saying that? Man, one of the things that's been happening nowadays is that this is a societal occurrence. It's not necessarily coming down as a decree from on high, but a societal occurrence that's transpiring is that there are evil men and seducers that are suggesting to Yahweh worshipers, that are suggesting to Christ followers, that we need to elevate the writings and the books and the teachings of other people above the authority of Scripture. To where you get questions like, well, if you really want to be able to handle the issues of same-sex attractiveness and homosexuality and transgenderism, or if you really want to understand the necessity of social justice fights and things of that nature, you need to read authors A, B, C, and D. You need to read these people to understand. And to that, you know what? Let me tell you, I'm not against reading things. In fact, Peter talks about adding to our faith knowledge. But here's the key. We don't read those other sources in order to get greater understanding of the Bible. You get what I'm saying? People are suggesting that you need to, well, you haven't really studied up on the topic, so you need to learn all of these other things and they will help you understand the Bible. No, 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 they will not. Man, we need to flip that. Think about my man on Friday. Gotta coordinate, flip that. No, we use the Bible to evaluate everything else. We don't need to have these other writings to tell us how we navigate issues with people who are violating God's standards on sexuality. The Bible is sufficient, man. The word of God is sufficient. It is God-breathed. It is inspired. These other writings are not inspired. There's a lot of smart cats out there. I read a lot of them. I can't say all of them because I don't know all of them. But I read a lot of them. But I don't read them in order to help me understand the Bible. No, 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 no. They can't help me understand the Bible better. I read the Bible, and the Bible shows me how to line these things up. It's the Bible that I read that shows me how to line these things up. I just read a book that's popular among certain segments, and the fundamental flaw in the entire document was the whole document is based on the premise that there are multiple races of human beings. And because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, I'm able to say, wait a minute, objection. Your entire premise is built on embracing the notion that there are multiple races of human beings. That ain't true. Now, that doesn't mean there are not a lot of people that are caught up in that, being bound by that untruth. But nevertheless, the Word of God enables me to navigate those things properly. I had a brother ask me, a beautiful brother. Man, I can't believe it. But the penchant for Marxism has hit my church. What sources do I need to read to prepare to oppose that? And I responded to this brother, man, listen, I'm not against learning. I'm open to learning. But let's make sure that we understand that the Bible is sufficient. The Bible is sufficient. It's sufficient for instruction. It's sufficient for teaching. It's sufficient for rebuke. It's sufficient for correction. It's sufficient for instruction so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't let these cats fool you, man, into reading all of these other things and evaluating and valuing them and esteeming them as higher than the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired, and let the Word of God be true. And every man that would deviate from the Word of God, guess what they are? Y'all know the rest.
a wrecking ball to religious liberty. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. America's religious freedom is under fire. Members of the U.S. House have introduced a dangerous bill known as H.R. 5 or the so-called Equality Act. It threatens the free exercise of religion and free speech. It's anything but an Equality Act. The potential consequences are terrifying. It broadly imposes the LGBT agenda in every realm of society. Not even churches or religious employers are exempt. The bill specifically forbids citing religious free exercise as a defense. Churches and nonprofit faith-based organizations would be forced to hire gender-confused individuals. Men would have access to women's bathrooms, showers, and locker rooms. The LGBT indoctrination would be required in school and in workplace curriculum. Counselors would not be able to provide help to those facing unwanted same-sex desires. Learn more about this bill at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/HR5.
International, interdenominational, Wesley Biblical Seminary, Jackson, Mississippi. Now's the time for you to apply at WBS, Biblical and Theological Studies with a deep commitment to the authority of Scripture. Our online and on-campus graduate programs will give you the laser-like focus for ministry that you need. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Apply today. Preach the Word. Reach the world. WBS.edu.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. A court of appeals has already essentially declared Obamacare unconstitutional, and it's likely the Supreme Court will agree. Now the conversation is over what should replace it. The answer is nothing. Or better, what should replace it is the free market. Let's get government out of the way and turn insurance companies loose to offer any kind of policies they want to consumers. That makes consumers the ultimate decision makers, exactly how it ought to be in a free society. The only role for government in healthcare should be to enforce contracts. If you pay for health coverage you don't get, government's job is to make the insurance company keep its end of the deal. Government should not be telling insurance companies what kind of things they have to offer or can't offer. That's none of government's business. Let's put ordinary Americans in charge of America's healthcare.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I have to share this with you. I saw this. I thought this was absolutely hilarious. So this, I'm just going to share it with you. Didn't tell you where it comes from first. So I'm going to read it first. This is so funny. So I'm going to read directly from this piece I'm talking about. Here we go. Fooling thousands of readers in a prank that the cable news organization said it was just for fun, CNN published a real news story for April Fool's Day this year. The story simply contained a list of facts with no embellishment, editorializing, or invented details. The story also didn't cite shaky anonymous sources and only quoted firsthand witnesses to the event. It was completely factual without any errors whatsoever. Baffled CNN fans immediately knew something was up. One fan said, quote, I was reading this story and I was like, wait, what is this? This man was in New York and he relies on CNN for his fake news every morning. He continued, they really got me good. Then I looked up at the calendar and I realized I'd been duped. A classic gag. Those little rascals. As long as they return to their regularly scheduled fake news tomorrow, we're good. We're all good. End quote. This is from the Babylon Bee. So if you don't know, the Babylon Bee is a satire site where they use real events and mock them with a little bit of truth. And for April Fool's Day, CNN shocked everybody. and published a real story, a real news story. I thought that was hilarious. You can find that at the Babylon Bee. That was absolutely, positively hilarious. Now, something that was amazing. I talked about it. We had interviews on this show. The unplanned movie this weekend. The show was a very modest budget. We're talking about single digits in the millions. And despite intense media opposition and even receiving an R rating from the Motion Picture Association, the censoring of the film from big tech companies, the movie is wildly outperforming expectations. So the film was projected to bring in less than half of what the film has already done in its first weekend. The projections were less than half, but they've already taken in $6 million. Now, that might not seem like a huge sum in terms of movie weekends. Well, you think about the budget for this film, and they weren't expecting to get less than like $3 million or so, and they've already been able to eclipse $6 million in the first weekend. It's amazing. And just to put this in perspective, considering the number of screens that the film was shown on, it was in about 1,000 theaters across the country. But considering the screens, the film racked up a cumulative per screen average of $5,770 per screen. Now, to put that in context, that is more than Captain Marvel, produced by, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The $5,770 per screen is more than Captain Marvel was making, and their budget was a measly $152 million. So Unplanned is doing extremely well. And, you know, I was in a meeting this morning, and Pastor Burt, who hosts Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, he made an observation. He said, you know, it's amazing that they gave this movie an R rating, because usually R ratings are developed, what, because of nudity? No nudity in Unplanned. You know, sexual situations, none of that in Unplanned. Profanity, no R rating worthy profanity in Unplanned. What's the last category? Violence. So you have the Motion Picture Association giving the movie Unplanned an R rating because of violence displayed in the movie. So you literally have the MPAA acknowledging that in utero baby murder is violence. Let that sit in your kettle and steep for a second. No reason other than the violence display. And of course, we know the objective was to try to get people who they know who are usually going to see this type of movie from seeing it, you know. And you have many of these states, you know, teenagers, they can even go and have an abortion at younger ages than they can get into R-rated movies. You know, and I just thought that was an amazing point, because we all know absolutely abortion is violent. But these people who rate movies, they give PG-13 ratings to things that are far more violent and far more despicable than this movie. But in spite of all of that, Unplanned is shattering records at the box office. And if you haven't seen it yet, I think this is a critical tool that we have to utilize to expose people to the truth of what's happening. Those who are already defenders of the Imago Dei enjoy the film, but I've seen testimonials of many people who, prior to seeing the movie, who would describe themselves as so-called pro-choice, and they leave the film, you know, one person in their own words, I'm rethinking everything I ever believed in. Because not only are they rethinking their opinions concerning baby murder, but one of the people told me, they even said that not, and the people who told me the lies about abortion, I'm questioning whether or not I should trust them on a whole host of issues. And I said, man, praise God for opening eyes and softening hearts. And so there's still time for you to go and see the movie. I'd encourage you to go and do it. I plan on buying a copy once it's available, introducing other people to it. It's absolutely fantastic, fantastic movie, and a fantastic tool to expose people to the truth. And on top of that, and I sent out on social media over the weekend something about this, because for a while on Sunday, Twitter suspended the Unplanned Movies Twitter account.
and thousands of people all over the country went berserk. So several people late on Sunday afternoon, for example, actress Patricia Heaton tweeted out, "Hey, Jack, hey, at Jack, why aren't you letting me follow at Unplanned Movie? I've tried 8 times to support my friend Abby Johnson, and Twitter won't let me. Others are having the same issue." Lila Rose, founder of Live Action, tweeted out the same thing. She said, "The Unplanned Movie had 170 plus thousand followers. Just within the hour, the number of followers have grown down to 25,000. What's up?" Attorney Harmeet Dillon, the same thing. "Twitter is censoring at Unplanned Movie and also interfering with the rights on this platform of over 100,000 other Twitter account holders to learn about the film. Who will hold Twitter accountable?" The same thing happening from Shannon Bream and Zelena Zito and Dana Lash and even Ashley Bratcher, who played Abby Johnson in the movie. She's saying, "Twitter won't even let me follow my own movie." These people had it in. Had it in for this film. Isn't it amazing the length the enemy goes to keep people from being exposed to the truth? Steve Dace tweeted out, "I've tried to follow this account 3 times already. Third time didn't work. Oh, just tried again the 4th time, it didn't work." I mean, this is amazing, the efforts that are put to conceal the truth. And it doesn't surprise me, right? Reminds me of efforts to prohibit the usage of ultrasound technology before abortions could be performed and all these other types of things. But in spite of all that opposition, the movie is doing well. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. And to continue, this is a powerful moment that I think not only to push back the darkness of baby murder in our country, but I think it's a great opportunity to preach the gospel. Jeff was telling me a story just coming in off the air, you know, about a woman he heard give a testimony who she was post-abortive and thought she had dealt with the various issues that had confronted her there and didn't realize until she saw the unplanned film. You know, an abortion was 30 years ago, you know, and it gives a fresh opportunity for the body of Christ, man, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to extend love and grace for people, and that the gospel in this dark time can be expounded on, can be propounded in our country. And I'm excited about that. And since we're on the topic of abortion, I just wanted to let you know, because I meant to cover this, but I just kept running into other things. But last week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, I mean, I got to tell you, this guy has been one of the revelations from the Trump administration for me. Mike Pompeo is a soldier. Y'all may not be familiar with that terminology. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Mike Pompeo is the real deal. He is proving to be the real deal. Last week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo expanded the Trump administration's ban on U.S. aid to groups that promote or provide abortions to include organizations that comply with the U.S. rules themselves but give money to other organizations that don't. This is commonly known as the Mexico City policy. It prohibits the use of federal tax dollars to be used in foreign aid to non-governmental organizations, NGOs, and others that promote or perform abortions. So President Trump came right in as soon as he got into office and reinstated the Mexico City policy. It was originally put in place by Ronald Reagan during his administration. President Trump reinstated it. And now the Trump administration is expanding it. Not only are the organizations unable to receive the money directly, because what's been happening to try to skirt the U.S.'s Mexico City policy, the non-government organizations that qualify for foreign aid under our rules would receive the money, then they would give the money to the abortion providers. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said, we're not playing those games. We're not going to give you, the abortion promoters and providers, any money. And anybody else we found out that's been giving money to these groups, y'all can't get any money either. Man, this is big stuff. This is big stuff. And so I'm just excited to be able to share that information with you, because we have the president campaigned about being pro-life. And there were many people that didn't believe him. You know, I have to tell you, I wasn't sure. I wasn't. But he's turning out that he's standing for his word on that for sure. Moving on, I wanted to share this. And I know I talked a little bit about this last week, I believe. But I'm going to go in a little bit more because, unfortunately, much of this evidence concerning Peter Strzok and these other people, it's coming out piecemeal. And, you know, I just try to put the dots together, really, for my own understanding. And so once I understand it, I think it's important that I share it with you all. So in a little text message that hadn't gotten much attention, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, although they didn't realize they were telling us what's going on, really helped us see what was going on. And I'm going to harken back to some audio I played for you before, but I want you to listen to former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, when he said this, and I don't think he realized when he said it how significant this was. Please play clip number 3.
If it weren't for President Obama, we might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set off a whole sequence of events which are unfolding today, notably Special Counsel Mueller's investigation. President Obama is responsible for that, and it was he who tasked us to do that intelligence community assessment in the first place.
Now, when James Clapper said this, this was early on, you know, in the process of the Trump-Russia collusion investigation transpiring, all of that going on. And he was saying this to celebrate President Obama. He was attempting to give President Obama props for getting the wheels on the bus to start rolling to put in place what we now know to be, because James Clapper didn't, at least he didn't say it publicly at the time, it wasn't public knowledge at the time, that this whole Russian collusion investigation was referred to as the insurance policy. He didn't really realize that at the time. Well, what we now know, and I'm going to read this really slowly, because I'm saying, well, just how deep does the rabbit hole go, Carol Ann? In recently released text messages from the whole adulterous affair between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, you have this little jewel from September 2nd, 2016. Now, let me remind you, the election for President Trump was in November of 2016. All right? I've said before that the unmasking of Trump affiliates and the formal investigation into the Trump campaign, that began in July of 2016. President Trump wasn't even elected yet. And we know now because Strzok, Page, and their acolytes were developing the insurance policy. They were saying, we don't think Trump will win, but just in case he does, we got a backup plan to get him out of here. Remember, what do you do use an insurance policy for? Man, if I smash my car, I get to fix it. They're trying to foolproof the country from the American voters. Look at this text message from September 2nd, 2016, between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Peter Strzok texts, quote, talking points for director, meaning James Comey, ? Look how Lisa Page responds. Quote, yes, because POTUS wants to know everything we are doing, end quote. Did you hear what I said? Question from Peter Strzok, talking points for director James Comey? Answer from Lisa Page, yes, because POTUS wants to know everything we are doing. Folks, this is in the context of discussing the insurance policy. I'm just telling you, we can sit around and play dumb if we want, but if we're going to be honest and follow the evidence wherever it leads, we're seeing a consistent phenomenon transpire. There's no way President Obama didn't know what was going on. And I ask the same question I've been asking. Are you all right with that? I mean, are you okay with that? I mean, this shows, one, James Comey knew what was going on. It indicates, at a minimum, two, because on September 2nd, 2016, the only POTUS in the United States of America was the 44th. Is this not worthy of some questions? I think so. I'm not saying assume anything, but this at a minimum is worthy of some inquiries. I wonder what old pencil neck Adam Schiff thinks about this text message. because he's using this House Intelligence Committee for investigations. What about this?
A call to action from American Family Radio.
There's all kind of difficulty in the world. But as the Word of God says, if your brother's in need and you have it within your ability to respond to their need, how can you claim to have love if you allow them to go without? What greater need is there than the need to live? I know life is rough, but it don't have nothing to do with the baby. Don't kill the baby. Don't wait for preborn campaigns. Don't wait for legislation to be passed in your state legislature. Don't wait till Roe versus Wade is overturned. Respond now. I believe with everything in me that we can end this scourge regardless of what they do in the halls of Congress and the halls of the state legislature. Every single family, every single church, go to the local abortion clinics. Let them know that you have people in your churches, people in your family that are willing to take the babies home. They have families that have been dying to take a child home. Don't kill the babies.
Visit AFR.net.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's Word and how He speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Trying to silence the evil of abortion. That story coming up. Planned Parenthood defenders are doing their best to make sure you don't see unplanned. The story of a former abortion executive who became a pro-life activist. Twitter briefly suspended the movie's account over the weekend. A number of television networks refused to air commercials for the movie, citing the sensitive nature of the film. Oh, I see. So the industry that gave us The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones is suddenly concerned about sensitive content? Unplanned also got slapped with an R rating. That means teenage girls who live in states where they can get an abortion without their parents' consent must get their parents' consent to see the movie. The truth is, Unplanned is a powerful testament to the real-life horror shop that is Planned Parenthood. And the abortionists are terrified what might happen when you learn the truth. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. If you would like to join the program, you're welcome to do so. If you want to talk about the unplanned movie, many of you have seen the movie now. I'd like to get your reactions. What do you think about the movie? I saw some Facebook commenters. You can pick up the phone and call in to see what you thought about, to let the listeners know what you thought about the movie. Or if you want to talk about this conspiracy. I'm just telling you, I am extremely uncomfortable with the knowledge that the most robust law enforcement agency in the country and the United States Department of Justice were turned into a political outfit. I mean, and specifically utilized, employed to overturn the will of the American people. I mean, that bothers me. And I keep saying this, and I don't know how many people believe it, but if you believe it or not, it's the truth. This bothers me for the stasis of our republic. The partisan politics in it is not the primary concern, that on our watch, we are literally witnessing the usage of the U.S. Department of Justice to impale a political opponent. Folks, that is a different country. That is a different country. And when you consider, and then let me give the phone number. The phone number, if you want to join the program, it's 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. You're welcome to call the program. We want to talk about your reactions to the unplanned movie. We want to talk about the knowledge that our Department of Justice has been turned into a political operation. I mean, when you step back from it all and you think about the fact, man, these people started this before Trump was even elected. And you see that this all started with the dossier and all the dirty dealings that were involved in it. Our Clapper conspired with Comey to present the dossier before Trump, to leak it to the news media, to get all this conversation going on about this tabloid dossier. And then you understand that the FBI paid Christopher Steele for this work. And these folks, the FBI I'm talking about, deemed Christopher Steele to be an unreliable source, but still used him for this. And the FBI and the DNC and the Clinton campaign all paid for this dossier that, according to this text message between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, that President Obama knew what was going on. Folks, that is extremely unsettling to me. Extremely unsettling. So if you want to join the program to talk about this stuff, you're welcome. Why not kick off the Monday with a conversation with your boy, Abe? The number again to call is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. Well, while the callers are preparing to join the program, it looks like this Democratic presidential primary is already trying to determine who and who will not, who will and who will not be considered viable candidates. Because I already told you guys that the research done on Elizabeth Warren showing, in spite of what she previously declared, that she did try to claim to be a Native American and get benefits when she applied to become a member of the Texas Bar. That didn't come from Republicans or some conservative or constitutionalist outlet. That came from other Democrats. The whole deal about Bernie Sanders writing his, you know, he called it dark satire fantasies. That didn't come from these people going after each other. You know, and the latest thing, and this is the thing that's so amazing to me on this. Nevada State Senator Lucy Flores, who at the time in 2014 was running for lieutenant governor, she says, man, Joe Biden touched her inappropriately. And the thing that's so amazing about that is, unlike previous accusations, we have scores of video footage and photographic evidence that shows, Uncle Joe gets kind of creepy. Handsy Joe, you know, you get too close, he might cup you in the wrong area. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, pictures and video after video after video, which begs the question, or not begs the question, but which raises the issue, we all knew this about Uncle Joe. They knew this before they made him vice president. Then after he became vice president, they knew about him. They didn't care about it then. But now, they got to get Joe Biden out of there. And look, y'all know me. I'm not a regressive. I'm not a regressive in any sense of the imagination. But it's interesting to watch. And so after Joe Biden was confronted by Lucy Flores's accusations, you have many among the regressive ilk who came out denouncing Crazy Uncle Joe. But then you have some who might be considered establishment Democrats who came out saying, Uncle Joe, he's just, you know, he's just flirty. He's flirtatious. You know, he's not doing anything sexual. He's not crossing any boundaries. He's just flirtatious. Listen to Mika Brzezinski from MSNBC. Clip number one, please.
Here it is, all about a friendly exchange that she had with a friend, Joe Biden, on a very bad day when she fell down, and he put his hands on her shoulders and was sort of holding her up, and I think gave her a kiss and thanked her for helping with having her husband serve the country. It was on his swearing in. It was completely misunderstood, and she finally had to take to pen and paper saying, this did not happen to me. This is not a Me Too moment. This is not the Joe Biden that I know. So are we really going to do this? And Democrats, you have to ask yourself, what exactly is the line, the Me Too line you want to draw? Because you will live and die by that line.
By the way,
it's an important line. It's very important.
We just saw last week somebody writing.
Don't mock it.
Isn't that convenient? Now, where was Mika Brzezinski when all of this stuff with Kavanaugh was going on? I mean, Mika, you're kind of convenient with your conversations, m'lady. And these people, she is going beyond trying to defend Joe Biden when these are the same people that mock Mike Pence. They mock Mike Pence for saying, man, I don't play with y'all, I love my wife. I ain't meet with no women without my wife present. Do what you want. That's how it's going to be. Now, they mock Mike Pence. And now she's like, you know Joe Biden, he's just friendly. He's just a friend. He's so affectionate. He just, she was having a down moment. She doesn't know how to process what she's feeling. Oh, so don't believe the woman, Mika? That's what you're telling me? So I'm confused. When am I supposed to believe? Oh, I know. You believe the woman when they accuse a Republican. That's the key. That's what it is. Because, Mika, I'm confused. Mika Brzezinski, you let somebody else say that, you might say that she was woman-splaining. Lucy Flores said Joe Biden touched her inappropriately. Oh, she doesn't know what she was feeling. They're friends. She had a down moment. You know, she was upset, by gosh, that she hadn't won that election. So she misinterpreted friendly Uncle Joe's gestures. Well, folks, another woman has accused Uncle Joe. This one, Amy Lapos from Connecticut. She is accused Joe Biden, and I'm Uncle Joe, but he ain't my uncle. And by the Lord's grace, he'll never be the head of the government. He won't be a part of Uncle Sam either. Amy Lapos from Connecticut said that she was inspired by Lucy Flores coming out saying Joe Biden touched her inappropriately, and said that back in 2009 at a fundraiser at U.S. Representative Jim Himes's, a fundraiser for U.S. Representative Jim Himes, Amy Lapos was a staffer for Himes at the time, and she said, quote, it wasn't sexual, but he did grab me by the head. He put his hand around my neck and pulled me in to rub noses with me. When he was pulling me in, I thought he was going to kiss me on the mouth, end quote. That wasn't sexual, though. Man, what grown man pulling? Y'all can play with crazy Uncle Joe if y'all want. He told y'all who he is. Joe likes to grab, touch. Let me smell your hair, girl. Boy, that's nasty, boy. Who does that? That's what he does. That's what Lucy Forrest said. He said she grabbed him from behind. He grabbed her from behind. Put his hands on his shoulder. Leaned in with a long romantic kiss on the back of her head and smelling her hair. And we've seen him on camera doing this. But let Mika Brzezinski tell it. Oh, that's not a Me Too moment. No, wait. He's just a friend. He's flirtatious. I said we get to the phone lines, didn't I? Let's go first to Georgia, where I'm sure many Georgians might be happy that crazy regressive celebrities are saying they're not going to go to Georgia because of the heartbeat bill there. Because they don't want to let you kill a child when you know the child's heart is, after you know the child's heart is beating. Many Georgians are probably saying, good riddance, we don't need you here. We'll go to Peter in Georgia. First, let me get him on. Peter, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Abraham, you are the man. You know, I have not been able to listen to AFR for a couple months because of work, and now I'm able to. And I tell you what, your show is just, it's awesome. And, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe the thug. He's a thug, so that guy is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, regarding the movie, I went and saw it Saturday night. It was great. As far as the violence level, what are they talking about? I was trying to fine tune my critiquing of it yesterday. I gave it some thought, and if anything, I thought it was a little bit mild, almost like Hallmarky. And I have very little negative to say about the movie. One point I was going to make was that I think the waiting room scenes should have had more people of color, because we know the stats that black babies are aborted. About 30% of the black babies are aborted are black, and that's, you know, juxtaposed 15% of the population. So black babies are aborted at 2.5 times the percent of the population, the black population. So I wish there'd been more people of color in the wait, girls, I'm talking about, you know, getting an abortion. That would have been a very good, subtle point to make.
Yeah.
But other than that, I encourage everyone to see it, especially young women. Mm-hmm. Go see it, because it will open your eyes to what goes on behind this shroud, this secrecy, and the lie, exposes the lies.
Good points, Peter. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. Those are good points. And, the statistics concerning abortion really come into stark contrast when you consider, the percentage of abortions vis-a-vis the population. And we know proportionality. We use in all type of other areas. So that's a good point. And it's a well-taken point. But I do not think that point takes away, and I don't think Peter was saying that anyway, so I don't think I'm disagreeing with Peter at all. But I don't think that takes away from the emphatic nature of the point made by the movie. So, Peter, thank you very much for your call and your comments. We'll go next to Tennessee, where Vincia is on the line. I hope I'm pronouncing your name properly. Is it Vincia from Tennessee?
Venetia.
I'm so sorry for mispronouncing your name. Venetia, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, I was calling. I just wanted to make a comment about the movie Unplanned.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well done. I've seen probably almost a lot of Christian movies, and it was one of the most polished, and it seemed like a mainstream movie as opposed to a low-budget film. So I really appreciated that about it. And I did have a comment about, President Obama using the Department of Justice in a political manner.
Yeah.
Because it's not the first time he did that. He did that with the IRS, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, great
and
point.
So, it's not unprecedented that he would take a supposedly, nonpartisan government entity and then use it to punish his political enemies.
Venetia, that is an excellent point, And that adds to, in my opinion, the reasoning behind, maybe we should look into this. Is it the first time the president has weaponized an executive branch level federal agency? No. In fact, the federal government has settled lawsuits. Man, this, if you want to know how nations that were previously robust and thriving nations become banana republics, folks, this is how it happens. This is how it happens when you nullify the rule of law to such a degree where, if you want to be real, the American people by this time know, man, we have a two-track justice system. If you're rich and if you're famous and if you're powerful, the likelihood of you being held accountable for something criminal reduces. And I hate to say that, because there have been many a day, every day my job was to stand up and represent a governmental agency in the pursuit of criminal justice. But we see this thing playing out on a national scale. And this is ridiculous. And then the second level is when you not only have the populace no longer having trust in the rule of law, but then you combine that with the development of distrust in the actual leadership of our nation. That's a formula for disaster. And I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with it. That's why I keep going to it. I try to go into other things, but I keep coming back to that because I'm not comfortable with it. I'm so sorry to those who are holding. I planned to get to you, but Jason made me talk too much. It seems to happen a little bit chronically on this program. If you call back tomorrow, I will do my best to get you on, and you can even call before the last segment of the program to get you on to share your comments on this, because what you have to say is important to me. And I think it's important to the listeners as well. If you are a person who do not yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.